JT live in Vegas.
No chance an inaugural expansion hockey team's going to make the playoffs. Stop. They did.
The Knights win the Pacific Division in their inaugural season.
This city must turn into a hockey city on the radio fast. Talked to a friend today and he said, listen, it's all gravy from here on out. I go, you're wrong. It's not all gravy. You didn't get here to lose in the first bleeping round.
He's gone. All through his legs. Carlson, shorthanded.
I'm going to let you act like a hockey town the way they do in Detroit and Boston.
We got to match the intensity that they're going to bring. They have the experience, but we got home ice.
Somebody with a pulse.
This playoff, every game matters.
Here come the Knight fans.
What Vegas is going to bring into that arena is going to be incredible.
Let's act like a hockey town. Let's do our job. Let's go balls out every day for an hour. That's the only radio I do. I'm ready to go. I'm fired up.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
Yes, JT with you. Last show of the week on a beautiful Friday. A little bit windy out there, but gorgeous day, and we're ready to roll as the Vegas Golden Knights. At some point next week, we'll be in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with all the momentum in the world, all the momentum that you could imagine. Brought to you by Golden Entertainment and all the great April promotions that PT's Entertainment Group Taverns have been a part of. Earn entries during Vegas hockey games for a shot at the $10,000 end of hockey playoffs prize for every one entry for a natural four of a kind or a non-poker jackpot, $200 or more. That's valid during the games when we find out when the games are going to be. This place is buzzing here. Vegas Golden Knight players are on comp, on the point. They're on this station. They're on other shows. They're all over the place as they get some free time. And they had practice earlier today out at City National. And there's a lot to talk about with the upcoming opponent of the Sharks. Both of these teams know each other well. You got to consider each other rivals. The rivals in that division technically are San Jose, L.A., Anaheim, San Jose, Anaheim, L.A., and now the Knights are the rival of everybody. Let me tell you the ultimate compliment I've seen in sports on the West Coast in my career is the Raiders don't have rivals. Everyone else is the Raiders' rival. Go to any Charger fan you've ever met and said, who's your biggest rival? They'll all say the Raiders. Go to any Bronco fan you've ever met and ask them who their rival is. They'll never say the Chargers or Kansas City. They say the Raiders. And the Raiders are so in Kansas City's head. Every time they play twice a year, they have Raider Week where the coaches and the radio stations and the restaurants have this anti-Raider thing where they hate the Raiders so much that the Raiders as a rival are in everyone's head. That'd be the dream for the Vegas Golden Knights. Getting ahead of San Jose, already in the head of L.A. Anaheim's waving over here. Look at us. We'd like to be included. No, you're not included. You just got pummeled by San Jose. And then you look at Vancouver, our Canadian brothers to the north, all the other teams in the Pacific time zone. Give me a break. The Coyotes? Come on. And some of these other teams, they all want to be a part of what's happening in the entertainment capital of the world. But now it's about advancing and moving on and hopefully having a series that we could talk about for decades to come. Beating the Sharks would be totally legitimate because the Sharks have been around a long time and they've been Stanley Cup ready, baking in the oven for the Cup the entire existence of that franchise. They want it more, their fans are more desperate, and they arguably deserve it because they've waited this long and they've been close. But that doesn't help you get the Cup. You don't get the Cup because you have a bunch of little special things on a checklist on why you deserve it. You don't deserve nothing in sports unless you win in sports. And that's why the Golden Knights got to feel good about this matchup. They're the higher seed. They'll have home ice. And hopefully the momentum will build as they continue to get better and better every time we watch them. It was a great series against L.A. because they played a bigger, stronger physical team. And they won really tight, low-scoring games in a sweep. Can't dream that up. That's the ultimate experience. Not only did they win the series, but they won with all this low-scoring drama that builds a team's value going forward in any postseason. Same in baseball. You play in baseball and you win a bunch of 1-0, 2-1 games. You use your bullpen. You get a gutty run. You shut the other team out or hold them back. It's a better feeling and a better victory. That's what the Golden Knights have been going through. If you want to talk hockey, Chris Mannix is going to join us from Yahoo here in about 10 minutes. I got room for you now at 876-1340. And especially if you went out to City National today, if you were at practice, let me know about the vibe. Everybody's been buzzing about it. Gerard Gallant on the Sharks and how well they're playing coming in to this next round.
Anytime somebody sweeps somebody four games, you're surprised by it. We were surprised by our success in them, but because the league is so close now. The teams are so close, and you have to be good playing real good hockey to sweep somebody in four games of focused hockey, and I think San Jose done that.
I don't think it's fair for anybody, any hockey city, to criticize or look at what the Knights are doing now in regards to their practice schedule. They just came off a sweep. They're off for quite some time, maybe another close to a week. What do they do? In the meantime, Gallant has everything dialed in perfectly.
We're gonna practice the same way we practice all year long. We'll look at tape of the Sharks. And like I said, we know the team pretty well. It's not like they're going to surprise us with a whole lot, and it's not like we're going to surprise them with a whole lot.
You got to wonder, trainers play a big role when you're around a professional organization. The video guys and gals, the trainers, the people who work behind the scenes really get you ready when you have a long break in between series.
Do I wish we were starting a series on probably Saturday night? You know, it'd be better, obviously, but again, because our players are ready to go. I'm sure the same with the San Jose Sharks. They're ready to go and get going, and there's a lot of times in between, but we'll have to work hard and have fun and, like we talked about, have good practices and get ready for next week.
A practice facility is very important, especially when it's vibrant, like City National and what's happening out there at downtown Summerlin, to see that many fans show up so they can prepare for their upcoming opponent with a crowd and all that energy.
I don't know if that's because the fans are out there all the time and they enjoy the fans' interaction with the players. And, you know, I mean, you're seeing guys knocking on the glass with little kids out there, and that's a little different than most teams. So it's been fun. It's worked real well for us, and we enjoy it.
I'd like to know if you're a season ticket holder or if you're going to game one, what day you'd like to see the game, how excited are you about it, and what's the best setup for you in regards to the postseason? Do you like these weeknight games, the weekends, the opportunity to get out there for an early start on a weekend game or a late night during the week and the energy? It's another great thing about Vegas. It causes the opponent to possibly get the Vegas flu where they might be out sightseeing, going to a club. That doesn't happen in the postseason. It happens constantly in the regular season. All those road teams that came here got out a bit. They had great dinners, big wine, big cocktails, at a minimum, staying in their casino. They did big things, better things than they do in Winnipeg and other markets around the country that shuts down in the postseason. But again, is the Vegas flu still alive, and will the Sharks fall into that? We'll get into that at 876-1340. I'm most excited about the Raiders schedule that came out yesterday. And 2 years from now, I promise you, when the Raiders schedule comes out, we'll either have the coach in here, assistant coach, Reggie McKenzie, and we'll go game by game by game heading into the draft. This is the time for Raider fans in the Valley to sound off like you got a pair on what this schedule means to you. Season ticket holders in the future and Raider fans now get a chance to look at a primetime schedule for 2018 and figure out what games you're going to. To me, it's mind-blowing the primetime games they get for a six-win team. Number one, they'll be playing at Tottenham Stadium over in London for their international game on October 14th against Seattle. They're the home team in that contest, which means they lose a home game in Oakland. But they've been rewarded in Oakland with two Monday night football games and a Sunday night football game. Are you kidding me? There's only seven home games, and three of them are prime time, and they play in a fourth game, which is prime time, the Battle of the Bay in Santa Clara, taking on the 49er Empire. So the good news and the bad news. The good news for the Raiders is John Gruden, who came out of TV in the television booth, will now coach in prime time at his former employer, ESPN, Monday Night Football. The bad news is this schedule is tough heading into the bye week. The Raiders open week one at home, Monday Night Football. September 10th, they take on the Los Angeles Rams, a playoff team from last year. The Raiders have a couple of good things coming into this game. It's a night game in Oakland in the Black Hole. It's insane. It's raucous. It's the ultimate home field advantage. Problem is, the Rams are already the favorite in the game, and a lot of people think the better team. John Gruden knows that coaching staff as good as anybody walking the planet. Many of the coaches on the Rams look up to Gruden as their mentor. Ndamukong Suh, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, their three new stars on defense, along with Aaron Donald, won't play much, in my view, in the preseason. So the Raiders catch them early in the first possible game of the year. If the Raiders can win their home opener against the Rams, they're off to the races, I think, for a fresh start and a good start under John Gruden. Week two at the Denver Broncos on a short week. I think the Raiders are better than the Broncos. I like Carr over Case Keenum, and there's a lot of holes still on Denver, but that's in Denver, in the Mile High. The good news for the Raiders is they don't play that game in weather. If you're going to get Denver, you don't want them in a snowstorm. You want them early in the year. Week three and four, critical for the Raiders at Miami, home against Cleveland. I'm calling for back-to-back wins live on Fox Sports Radio. The Raiders, at a minimum, go 2-2 or 3-1 out of the gate. They should be able to beat the Dolphins and the Browns back-to-back before they play at the Chargers. Tough game. They lost there last year. Jack Del Rio fired in the tunnel after the game. And then, as I mentioned, Seattle and London before their bye week. So if I look at all the games that the Raiders have, the six games they play before the bye week, I think best case scenario, 4-2. Worst case scenario, 2-4. And if they land at 3-3 heading into the bye week, I think they'll be fine and in the hunt in the AFC West. All they want to do is be in the hunt to win the division. Remaining games after that, the Colts and Andrew Luck in Oakland. That should be an automatic win for the Silver and Black. That's a victory, a V in the column. They play the Niners on a short week in Santa Clara. The Chargers at home before at Arizona, at Baltimore, and Kansas City. That's going to be a tough stretch because all those teams play defense. The Raiders season ends with a Sunday night game in December at home against the Steelers. This will be the last Steeler game ever played in Oakland, California, at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, one of the greatest rivalries in the history of football. Steelers and the Raiders, that becomes their marquee game. The Raiders are at Cincinnati before Denver on Monday Night Football at home, and they end at Kansas City, two tough division games back-to-back. What do you think the Raiders' record is under John Gruden this upcoming year? 8-7-6-13-40. Got to have an opinion on that. 10-6 would work for me. I think it would put them in the playoffs as a division or a wild card team. 9-7 probably keeps them out. To me, 8-8 would be a disappointment for John Gruden in his first year. I'm expecting the Raiders to bounce back from their 6-win season from last year. When we come back, we'll talk to Chris Mannix from Yahoo, their senior writer on the NBA playoffs up until now. He's a boxing guy, too. He can handle that as good as anybody as a boxing insider, but more on the NBA playoffs. As Cleveland is underway, 3-0 underway at Indiana. LeBron coming off a big game. He just hits another bucket. LeBron off to a good start. Keep it here, courtesy of Golden Entertainment. This is Fox.
On a day where most of the day was spent thinking about Greg Popovich, his family, his kids, his grandchildren, with the devastating loss of his wife of over 40 years, Erin. The Warriors and the Spurs had to put together a game three at Golden State with a workmanlike effort, and they come away with a win 110-97.
Good friend of the show, Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors, as the Warriors have a commanding lead over the Spurs. JT, back with you. Senior writer for Yahoo and our new teammate here at Fox Sports Radio, Chris Mannix, a tremendous addition, kind enough to join us. And Chris, your reaction to the news with the Spurs organization, Coach Pop's wife passing away, league-wide, everybody came to the table to talk about what a positive impact she had on the league.
Yeah, they did. And you know, the last couple of days, I was in Cleveland for game two there, and then New Orleans last night for game three, and each of the coaches of that staff spoke pretty eloquently. I mean, it's funny, you know, Erin Popovich was not a known figure in the NBA. She wasn't at games, not that I ever saw. She didn't go on road trips. She wasn't with him when they celebrated championships, at least not on the dais. She was very much a behind-the-scenes figure. But if you talk to people in and around that organization, a very influential one, and certainly one that was around a lot at the you know, with the behind the scenes stuff. So just a tough day for, you know, for Greg Popovich and the entire Spurs organization.
Chris, from what I've seen with the organization throughout my career, and you've been around the league a while and especially around this organization, it just goes to show you the NBA family. But how different this family is in San Antonio from the players who decide once drafted or they move there, they stay there in retirement. They love the community and this fan base that really is Spurs against the world because they don't have a lot of other major league sporting teams. It's a special situation in the NBA that a lot of fans don't get a chance to see nationally.
No, it's just different. You know, for all the reasons you articulated there, a small market, you know, one major sports team type of town with, you know, a very tight-knit bond with the team. And, you know, guys come there and, you know, depending on the player, look, it's not every player that wants to stay there, but so many have. And as you point out, so many do post-playing careers. So this certainly, you know, rocked not just the people that are close to Greg Popovich, but everybody in that organization.
Chris Mannix is our guest. Chris, from being around the Warriors recently and knowing the rehab now schedule for Steph Curry, they can take their time now as it looks like they're going to be a part of a sweep here and have some time off. How is he coming along? And the organization has been guarded in the past with him. Is he ahead of schedule or right on track, in your opinion?
Well, I think he's on track. I mean, I saw the release today, like you did. You know, it sounds like he's not imminently, you know, going to be able to return. He might wind up missing a couple of games in that next series if this. You know, look, they're going to play the Pelicans, and you know the Pelicans are poised to sweep their series as well. So it's not like they'll have a ton of time in between these series. But you know, it does sound like he's on schedule there. And look, you needed to get back. I mean, I was in New Orleans last night. The Pelicans are playing unbelievably well. And we're looking at playoff Rajon Rondo once again. I mean, this is like one of those, you know, mythical creatures that comes out every April where Rondo comes in and plays like a different player. Between Rondo and Jrue Holiday, those two guys are playing some of the best basketball in the league. So, you know, against, you know, a battered San Antonio team, Steph was a luxury. Against New Orleans, I'm not sure that he is.
Now, looking at New Orleans and seeing him up close like you did, is it obvious now to everyone that they're always going to be better with Anthony Davis playing the five and not having another twin tower next to him? It's nice to have that luxury with Boogie Cousins, and especially if he can give you 20-plus points a night. But talk about the difference with Davis roaming alone instead of Boogie and how dangerous this team is now.
Well, it's different, JT, but at the same time, you know, Boogie was playing great. I mean, he was an all-star, you know, this year, and they were playing good basketball, and everybody kind of thought they'd fall off a cliff after Cousins' injury. Now, credit to Davis and credit also to Nikola Mirotic, who came in last night and put in 30 to help this team win. He's been an unbelievable mid-season addition, but I think next year, as you kind of push this thing forward a little bit, you know, a three-man rotation between Cousins, Davis, and Mirotic, that's going to be as good as any front court in the NBA, you know, next season. They're that talented offensively and defensively. So they're getting a good push from Davis playing that five spot. But I think they're better with Cousins, and I think they will be long-term.
Yeah, and one more follow-up with that, because I think it's really important. The resources, a team in a market like that has so much resources to go. Still having that front court you're talking about, other than adding a bigger player or a better player in the backcourt down the road via free agency or going in that direction, because there's only one basketball, and I love when Anthony Davis has it most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to have to spend a lot of money to keep that team together. I think even despite the Achilles injury, DeMarcus Cousins is probably going to be a close to max or full max level player. Rondo, who is, I mean, I can't underscore enough the impact of Rajon Rondo with this team. And I've watched him on TV twice and once in person during this postseason, and he's brilliant. JT, he's 5-0 in his last five playoff games. And remember last year with the Bulls, they probably would have won that first round series if Rondo doesn't break his hand. So they're going to have to pay Rondo some money, pay Cousins some money. They're going to have to pony up some real cash. keep this team together.
Chris Mannix is our guest. Chris, I feel bad for Portland. It's a rabid fan base. They've been waiting a while. Do they have to hit the reset button again for Lillard and where this team goes and what direction? No chance they'll be as good as the Warriors as they move into their new building in San Francisco. Houston seems to be ascending, and maybe they're going to get better free agents to want to come there and join that team with Chris Paul and Harden. What does Portland need to do coming off what looks to be a really ugly beatdown against New Orleans?
Yeah, they're going to have to answer some tough questions this offseason. About a few weeks ago, I sat down with Neil O'Shea, the general manager, and I asked him kind of that same question. I said, look, will this postseason sort of dictate what you do with this team moving forward? He said, well, look, it'll depend on the circumstance. We have injuries, you know, what the other team looks like, who we play. This is a Portland team that went into this series as the favorite. They went into the series completely healthy, and they are getting smoked right now by what looked like a lesser team on paper. I think they're going to have to seriously consider moving one of their key pieces. Now, it's not going to be Damian Lillard because he's the franchise cornerstone, but maybe it's a CJ McCollum. They have to decide what to pay Yusuf Nurkic this offseason, and I think they have to take a long look at the coaching staff, too. I mean, Terry Stotts did a tremendous job in the regular season, but you know, this Pelicans defense has really locked down Damian Lillard, and we haven't seen much in the way of adjustments from Portland at this point. So I think this is going to be a challenging offseason with some big decisions for the Blazers.
Wrapping it up with Chris Mannix, I find real interesting as I look at this Philadelphia team and the more and more they play on national television, what their rotation will look like, the philosophy of the franchise when Embiid wants to play out on the perimeter and he's hitting big threes like last night, spacing for Simmons. Redick could be a spot-up corner shooter. He can get to the basket here. From a coaching perspective, tell us a little bit about this Sixers team and how they could be tweaked even to be better coming forward here in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's much in the need of tweaking what they're doing. It's just working Embiid back into the mix and finding a nice balance with him in the half court. I mean, look, this Sixer team in transition is awesome, whether it's Simmons bringing the ball up, Embiid running the wings. They can do things with their size and versatility that virtually no team, maybe outside of Golden State and Houston, can do on a consistent basis. Where I thought they would struggle is in the half court, but Embiid coming back changes all that. You can dump it into him in the post, ask him to stretch you from beyond the three-point line. He is a matchup nightmare for everybody, including the Miami Heat. So I just think you have to keep trying to incorporate him, keep working him back, and they're going to be a tough out for anybody.
Wrapping it up with Chris Mannix, a few more. Chris, quickly on the league going forward. You know, you always heard from David Stern and Adam Silver from time to time when the playoffs get going. Looking at the television contracts and the business relationships, LeBron obviously still alive, Houston playing well with Harden, the Warriors getting healthy. This looks like a healthy postseason, especially with Philadelphia and Anthony Davis emerging here. It looks fun, and I think the TV partners got to love some of these matchups.
Well, especially with the playing field, you know, somewhat leveled. I mean, last year was a disaster. It just was. There wasn't a competitive series in any of amongst any of the contenders, including the finals. There were some entertaining games in the finals, but not necessarily competitive. 16-0 for Golden State, 15-1 for Cleveland. That doesn't make anybody happy, especially those TV networks that are paying for those conference finals matchups. But you know, this year, you know, there's four or five teams in the East that are sitting back right now saying, I can get to the NBA Finals. In the West, I don't know if Golden State's vulnerable per se, but there's certainly the Houston Rockets and now the Pelicans who think they can play with them. So it's great for the NBA to have maybe not established NFL-level parity. That's not quite where they're at yet, but they're getting closer to that with the way teams have come along.
And finally, the Canelo decision, 6 months instead of a year. The fight with Triple G should happen in the third quarter of this year. Overall, are you okay with that decision?
I am, and you know, people are out there, JT, asking for Canelo's scalp. And look, I think that he probably, if I had to guess, I don't buy the contaminated meat story. At the same time, he's never tested positive before. I don't think you ban a guy for a year or 2 years, you know, because of that. I think that the Vegas, the Nevada Commission did a pretty solid job. The 6 month suspension does cost Canelo an 8-figure payday that he's not going to get back. I mean, he planned on fighting in May and September, regardless. So he's gonna lose himself some money. His image is tarnished. I think he's paying a reasonable proportional price for this. And I hope we do get that Golovkin rematch in September.
Chris, I think you nailed it again. We've been saying it all week. The fact that he loses out on one of the two Triple G fights, the enormity of that money, the commission, obviously, it could have been a year. It might have been a stricter decision, but the money has to weigh in when you look at the best of the best fighters in any sport, how much they lose out financially. I think that's a big part of that decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be.
Yeah.
You know, with when you're talking about punishing a guy, you know, he's being pretty well punished. And, you know, as far as the timeline of it all, you know, again, I don't buy the contaminated meat story, but I do look at the totality of the facts that Canelo has not been busted before, that there is this issue of contaminated meat in Mexico, even though, I mean, it's a Mexico City issue more than a, you know, wherever Canelo was, Guadalajara. Like, a lot of the facts in this case don't exactly line up, but, you know, if he gets tagged with it again, throw the book at him. Give him a 1 year, 2 year suspension. I don't care. But for a first time kind of offense, I think this was a reasonable punishment, especially when you throw in how much money he's losing because of it.
Enjoy the weekend, Chris. Thanks for making time for us.
You got it, JT.
Chris Mannix joining us from Yahoo, the senior writer, covers boxing and obviously the NBA, and pretty impressed at what's happening with New Orleans. New Orleans, and I wanted to follow up with him on that a few times because they're going to get Boogie Cousins back. And Boogie Cousins with Anthony Davis, you would assume two twin towers, they're better. It's tough to say Anthony Davis is better even with an all-star next to him. He needs room to score 35 points a night. If Boogie Cousins is out there, then he loses the touches that Boogie would get. So I'd rather see him have an elite shooting guard. Rondo's playing well, but maybe another guard with depth. But Chris seems to think with what they have, with Meritich and Boogie coming back and Anthony Davis, can you imagine if New Orleans knocks the Warriors out of the playoffs? Steph Curry's not ready. He's not ready yet, but he's going to get some time off. Kevin Durant twisted his ankle last night. Sean Livingston twisted his ankle last night. Andre Iguodala's another year older, excuse me. The team's not what it used to be. With Steph Curry back, they're fine. If Curry comes back and he's not at 100%, could Anthony Davis make the Warriors sweat? To me, it's an easy road for the Warriors. They're going to sweep the Spurs in four, and they're playing New Orleans without Boogie Cousins. To me, the Warriors have a really good chance to go easily into the Western Conference Finals with some rest against James Harden and the Houston Rockets, and they deserve to be the one seed. They had a better record throughout the course of the year. When we come back, the only two-time winner of the Super Contest, now at the Westgate, and the enormity of the payouts and the money. How much money did the winner win this year again? Someone tweet me that at JT the Brick. Fezzik won it twice. Don't tell me about the size of the fields. Try to win that once. Good luck. He won it twice. He wants to talk about the opening lines, week one in the NFL. Wait to hear a couple of these lines. You can make money. You can get these numbers now. Fez joins us next.
Do you have a consensus on 1, 2, 3, or 4, or is it something where this guy likes his quarterback?
Not yet. It's like anything. You can go around a room and probably get 4 or 5 different opinions on how they should be stacked. And
regardless of consensus, it'll be the guy you like. Is that fair?
Yeah. That's my job, right? I got to break the ties.
Yeah, John Elway, what does he do at number 5? Does he trade out of it? Guts for Baker Mayfield? Got Case Keenum. What direction do they go in? What a week we have lined up next week for the NFL draft next Thursday. All the experts, plus we'll have a lot of insiders from the San Jose Sharks joining us and from the Vegas Golden Knights. Next week is a huge week, especially with Vegas and all the gaming opportunities. That's why we bring in one of the best. Steve Fezzik joins us every week from pregame.com. Fez, when the early lines come out for the opening week, how much value do you see here? Typically, do you look at this and salivate knowing you see so much value across the board?
Well, you always hope for value, and it varies year by year, but it's very rare that I won't see at least one or two games that I make bets
right off the bat within the first 24 hours of the Lions coming out.
Now, that's what I want to talk about in regards to that risk-reward. When I look at a game such as the Giants catching 3 points at home, and I'm thinking they're going to get Barkley, maybe the running back with the second pick overall, to have a stable running game with fresh legs to go along with a healthy Odell Beckham and Eli being rejuvenated. Being a home dog, do you look to home dogs a little bit more there? Because that one jumped right out at me.
Well, I try to look in terms of what is the line going to be in September, and you're absolutely right, that Giants line, anywhere from 3.5 to 4, I don't think the fours are going to last. I know the Giants had such a down year last year, but for Jacksonville to be laying 4 on the road, they'd have to be 7 points better than the Giants. And let's face it, it's no lock that the Jacksonville's any better than the Giants in 2018 just because they were so much better in 2017.
Yeah, I don't want to go game by game with the Raiders, obviously, but just big picture on John Gruden, his first game Monday Night Football against a coach now who looks up to John Gruden as his mentor, and all those new additions on the Rams' defensive side. No surprise that the Rams would be a favorite, but Gruden's first one on Monday Night Football in the black hole, and that is a really tough test as the Rams are favored by 1.5.
Yeah, you know, frankly, I was shocked by this line because you could make the case the Rams could be the best team in football. So maybe Oakland would be a middling NFL team right now with a whole lot of volatility, whether they'll be better than average or worse than average. Rams -1.5, that's one of the ones I bet right off the bat, JT.
There you go. There's the hits. Fez is all over that one. Chargers in Kansas City. I don't like rivalry games and division games right off the bat. We see that often at times. It always seems like the Giants are opening up in Dallas, and then they don't play till the last game of the year. I like what the Chargers did last year, seeing them up close twice. They were a really good defense that's only going to get better via the draft. I think Rivers has another year or two left, and Kansas City will be trotting out a brand new young quarterback on the road.
Yes, and I want to bet on the Chargers, but you know, I want to bet on the Chargers on the road. That home field advantage, if there's going to be any of it, I think 40% of the stadium in L.A. is going to be Kansas City fans. You nailed it. How good is Mahomes going to be? I passed.
We're talking to Steve Fezzik here. Quickly on the Niners, just another big-picture question. Where are you with Jimmy Garoppolo? It was just a small bunch of games last year. You could talk about the opponents he played, how he finished. I thought he was excellent in the playbook, which was Kyle Shanahan's concern instantly. How much would he get of the playbook? They gave it to all of them at the end of the year, and he gobbled it up. Minnesota, 4.5 to 5-point favorite at home against Jimmy G.
Well, R.J. Bell loves to make fun of my love for Jimmy G, who has not lost a game as an NFL starter so far. I absolutely love everything that the Niners are doing and Jimmy G. So that is a team that it's going to be very rare I'm going to bet against. But you know what? The word is out. The memo is out. How about this? The Niners only getting 4.5 at the Minnesota Vikings, who are loaded, have to pass.
A lot of people like to fade the opening ring ceremony game in the NBA for a number of reasons. What about in football Thursday night? Philadelphia, 4-point favorite over Atlanta. Atlanta with that stout offense. And still, the interesting part here for me is we don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback in that game.
Yes, and what happens is that we see I think Wentz will be back, but we can't be sure of it. We always see money coming against the Super Bowl champions, and it was right last year when Kansas City smashed New England. But for the most part, the Super Bowl champs, you know, it's a 16-game schedule, not an 82-game schedule. Teams are ready to go week one, and usually they come out guns a-blazing. If Wentz is starting, wow, Philly's really, really good. Atlanta, though, is an underrated team that survived the Super Bowl hangover. I'm passing that game.
Are you going to pass on Houston at New England? New England -7, -6, depending on where you shop. And we've seen this movie before. Houston has a rough time. Bill O'Brien, that's like his demon, going up there many times in that rivalry. That's a tough opening test, especially for New England and what they typically do. Last year, they opened up with a loss, though, to Kansas City.
Boy, if I've got Watson at quarterback, I'm taking 7 against the New England team that's going to be down. But the question is he going to be back? Is he going to be 100%? again, a whole lot of uncertainty, and with uncertainty, there's probably going to be some good bets to be made after we get to see them in preseason. I would lean to Houston right now.
And the NBA, anything jump out at you? Were you surprised we were on the right side of Anthony Davis in New Orleans pounding Portland in this series? It looks like a sweep.
You know, just a comment on some of these roster moves in February that went totally under the radar. You know, New Orleans picking up Mirotić from the Bulls. The Bulls were horrible without him. He came back and he almost ruined the Bulls tanking. How are these guys like Mirotić and for the 76ers, Bellinelli and Ilyasova, they're just giving these guys away to teams, and they changed the 76ers and New Orleans into contenders with these acquisitions for nothing, JT.
Finally, leave us with something on the Golden Knights and what's happening in this town as we wait for the schedule in round two against San Jose. The under in the last series, how incredible those games were, 1-0, 2-1, overtime victories, and obviously the local team here wins with all sweeps. Amazing.
Absolutely, and the hot goaltender can take you a long way. You know, the Sharps have been betting against, I should say the so-called Sharps, against the Golden Knights all year long. They're out of money doing so, so they're going to go ahead and call their brother-in-law, call their parents, take out a second mortgage. They're ready to bet against the Golden Knights, yet again, based upon raw talent.
So I'm assuming at pregame.com, first week one of the NFL, you guys are all over that?
We will be up next week with recommendations and plays. My number one sport, the NFL, absolutely will be firing early.
Thanks, my friend. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, JT.
Steve Fezzik joining us, and they'll be firing away at pregame.com. As he told you there, that's a great point about the Rams. So he thinks the Rams are the best team possibly in football and only a 1.5-point favorite at Oakland. What about that ability of John Gruden to be a celebrity to come in and maybe get a little bit of a help with the line for Oakland right out of the gate? I think when you play a great team, and I don't want to say the Rams are great. They didn't win a playoff game last year. They got beat at home by Atlanta. They are not great. They still have Jared Goff at quarterback. But with Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, I'm assuming they're going to be healthy. You know, you get through the preseason healthy. That's a tough matchup, and if the Raiders can get a good draft pick to come in, along with who they brought in the offseason, and it's a home game, that'll be fun. But again, on that Raiders schedule, I was pumped up to see four marquee games. A lot of Raider fans aren't excited about London, because London's impossible for some people to get to, but it is a marquee game. You're playing in front of 85,000, I think, at Tottenham Stadium. Brand new stadium, just like us. Hasn't been open yet. They're not even remotely done building the stadium. And the Raiders will play the Seahawks there. That's Raider country. It's not Seahawk country there. It's Raider country, and it's a Raider home game. And then the Niner game, that's the last time the Battle of the Bay will be played. I'm telling you, in San Francisco, it got rough. I'm telling you, it was rough in San Francisco between those two fan bases. Now you move it out to Silicon Valley, so you don't have to worry about wearing a vest. You have to worry about bringing your laptop where they play those games out there. And then the other two, the Raiders get Monday night games against the Denver Broncos, which is going to be a lot of fun. That's Christmas Eve, I believe, and they open up the season with Monday night football. So a lot of Raider fans are rightfully so complaining. It could be the last year in Oakland. I hope there's two more. Raider fans are now looking at ticket prices in Vegas, kicking the tires on the PSL, wondering if they're going to come down for a full season. And the rest of the Raider fans here, I don't think they understand just yet what this launch of Gruden 2.0 in Oakland, as he loves Oakland and is embracing those fans who are losing their team, how rabid of an environment that's going to be. If you're a Raider fan, it's going to be a tough ticket this year. A Sunday night football game, two Monday night games. There's only a few games left if you want to fly up there and get a reasonable ticket. That place is going to be packed and off the hook this year as John Gruden tries to turn it around. When we come back, we'll get into some of the NBA games. One underway. LeBron and Cleveland look great. They're on top early, 31-23, with about 11:30 to go until the half here. LeBron's off to another good start. We mentioned Anthony Davis, the Warriors, and the easy road over the Spurs. And maybe they're right. Chris Broussard told us on this show. He's got Philadelphia going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
is it true that you have not yet made up your mind on your number one quarterback yet?
I still look at it this way. The draft is 7 days away. I'm very confident where we are in the process. And, you know, the draft is 7 days away from me.
John Dorsey, who is the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, they have the first and fourth pick overall. I played golf today with a guy from Cleveland, just a random guy, was out golfing with a buddy over at Spanish Trails today, the JOD, and we hooked up with a guy from Cleveland, and we talked for six or seven holes about Cleveland's draft. I said, just get to it. What do you want to do? He said, we can't screw this up. I said, oh, really? Because we can't. We got the first and fourth pick. We got a quarterback at number one and the best player available with the fourth pick. That could be Chubb, the defensive end. They could get... you're not going to take two quarterbacks. That'd be nuts. That's probably the biggest fake news story, Bobby, I've seen. It's on the Mount Rushmore of my career. The other night, a report saying that the Cleveland Browns are considering two quarterbacks in their top three picks. They're not going to take two quarterbacks. They're a mess of a franchise. They're not going to make two guys compete, and the loser they lose out on, they have to trade away. I think they should take Sam Darnold first. If they don't, and they take Josh Rosen first, I think they could still get a great defensive player. What the Browns want to do is they want to come out of the first four picks with two franchise players, a franchise defensive player and a franchise quarterback. If they're able to do that, they'll be loaded and they'll turn it around. But let's not forget, let's pump the brake. This was a team that didn't win a game last year. They're stockpiling picks, and they've blown every one. Now they have a new general manager in there right now, and he didn't even visit with Barkley and Minka Fitzpatrick and Chubb, the best pass rusher in the draft.
What more do you need to know about them? I mean, I've talked to each one of them on the side at the combine. I know what they are as people. Why waste a 30-player visit when, I mean, if there's guys you have questions about, why not bring those guys in here?
See, I think that's crazy. He's not bringing in the best players because he said he hung out with them at the combine and interviewed them there. I think you want them in the building for a workout. You want to see what they look like in your facility. One more from Dorsey on what's happening with Baker Mayfield now. A lot of people think that he could be available at number four if they go with a running back or a defensive player.
Baker Mayfield, how does he fit in that category? Being a man of character, good off the field guy.
Well, you guys always try to create the narrative of this guy. He's like something he's not. I mean, we said that back. We said that back at the Senior Bowl, but just meeting with him, he's a pleasant fella. He's pretty sharp. You know, he's fine. I have no problems with him.
Taking Baker Mayfield in the top five or six picks, there's going to be some risk there. I'm not the guy on the radio that rips Baker Mayfield. I think it's kind of weird when you rip him for taking his shirt off on Sports Illustrated. Who cares if he has a tank top on or a shirt? That doesn't bother me at all. But he does have that gravitas and that vibe around him. And you better guess right with Baker Mayfield, especially in New York, where there are a couple of reports today. I read the New York papers when I get up every morning that the Jets are all locked in to go with Baker Mayfield. You put him in here thinking he's going to be the next Joe Namath, and he's not. The Jets go backwards. It would be the equivalent of the Browns drafting Johnny Manziel when he busted out. Baker Mayfield, I don't think it's going to be a bust. I think he'll be a good player in this league. But if you go to New York, the chances of being a bust is bigger in New York than in other places because of the bright lights. Remember, all the PTs, the locations here in town, 50% off drinks and pizzas, 5 to 7 p.m., and the great happy hour that starts at midnight every night from midnight to 2 a.m. The Carne Asada Street Tacos are some of the best in all of town. The menu is fantastic. We had a couple of guys in here last week to talk about the beverage items and the food, and it gets better and better every time I go. Bobby, who runs the show, great week. We did five shows this week. We don't need a medal for that. We got a bigger week next week because we're going to find out when the hockey games are. And I'm hoping for at least one game on the weekend. I think a game middle of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, then talking Friday, Saturday, whatever it is, the city's ready. This city's ready, and San Jose should not be able to come and get tickets. Tremendous outpouring of fans. In the first round, you didn't see the King fans able to get the tickets that they wanted. Should be the same thing, and it's a good thing for the San Jose Sharks. Thanks for a great week on the radio. Looney joins me up here at the top of the hour. Eric Burns will join us from MLB Network. He's a fun guest, been on with us for over a decade. And the great play-by-play voice, football and basketball, Kevin Harlan from TNT is going to join us here in a little bit. So stick around. Friday night, in the city of Sin, Las Vegas. Thanks to Golden Entertainment for everything they do to give me an opportunity to give you 5 days of interactive sports talk radio. Have a great weekend, everybody. The Fox National Show with Looney, starting in about 6 or 7 minutes. This is Fox.